most people's businesses are full of friction. And, you know, this is going to sound a bit crass, but I think most people's business need a bit of lube. And the best kind of lube you can apply is a framework, because it takes you from, you know, friction to just going, so things just flow.
This is Super Fast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schranko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. Another special guest episode where we interview people who know really cool stuff about cool things. And I can't believe that I haven't had today's guest on the show earlier, because we're such good friends and we catch up pretty much every single week. Welcome to the show, Taki Moa.
Dude, about time I got this invite.
I know. I know you've had me come and chat to your people at a special event you ran, and you're coming to speak to my people at the event. And then this sort of podcasting crossover was destined to happen. And we're going to be really dialing in on the topic of freedom and how you might sort of achieve that. Now, you run a very popular website called CoachMarketingMachine.com.
Yep.
And you primarily work with coaches to help them market their coaching business to get students and to deliver good results, right?
Exactly. Yeah, most of my guys are great at what they do, and often not so good at the how do I get enough clients to do it for piece. And so my job's the, you know, marketing and sales guy to teach them how to do that well.
And I think that topic has broad application for most people listening to this. Most people are looking to get customers, looking to convert, looking to somehow deliver whatever they're doing in a leveraged fashion, and that happens to be your specialty. So let's dig into this. As the coach's coach, I'm sure you've got some highly evolved techniques, and I've seen you in action. I've known you for a few years now, and you do really walk the walk as opposed to talk the talk. So freedom is important to you. You might just give us a little bit of context about how that applies to your life. I know for one, when I'm traveling around the world, quite often you're right there beside me, even in another country. So I know you do travel a lot. How else does this freedom theme translate into your life?
Yeah, good call. So I think since I was a kid, freedom and fun have been my two kind of biggest drivers. And so that hasn't changed a lot. What did change, though, was about 13 years ago, we had a son called Ethan, and he's an amazingly funny, you know, bright kid, but he's got cerebral palsy and autism and epilepsy, just a bunch of physical challenges. And so we needed a way to, you know, to be able to run a business that let us, if we needed to, kind of drop everything and spend 10 weeks at the hospital or whatever, you know, a bunch of crazy stuff has had to happen. So that's kind of led me to, how do I, you know, Tim Ferriss would call it minimum effective dose. You know, how do we get the biggest result with the minimum amount of input so that we can, you know, live a really great free life? And so for me, that's about, you know, how do we make more money? How do we make more impact? And how do we get more freedom? In its current iteration, that means that, you know, we do somewhere between $1 and $2 million a year, which is good from the money point of view. We change, you know, tens of thousands of people's, you know, lives and businesses, which I'm really, really proud of. And we get to take an incredible amount of free time, about 4 months off a year, with this crazy kind of brood of kids with us all around the world. So it's about 4 months a year travel away from Australia time. And yeah, some of that is actually hanging out with you in the States and enjoying Burger Fridays, but a lot of it is kind of on a plane and, you know, off with the kids adventuring somewhere as well.
Then you have about 1,000 kids too, right?
I do have about 1,000 kids. That's true. I started when I was very young. I tell everyone that I was really popular in year 10, and that's why I've got all these kids.
It's kind of weird. Like, both you and I have some grown up kids, and it's just bizarre going to the pub with your kid. And I don't feel that old, and I know you live a young lifestyle as well. So it's kind of cool. Now, a big part of what you've done is simplify everything. When I look at your business as an outsider looking in, what I see is that you have a very clever way of just focusing on the stuff that's important, and you really do just disregard things that are irrelevant. So you've pared it down to the essentials, and you have a nice way of explaining this. You might want to talk about your ACD chart that you were referring to me at some point.
Oh yeah, cool. So, you know, I just kind of broke business down into, effectively, there's, you know, three things that every business has got to do, and you've got to attract new, you know, new clients or new customers. You've got to convert them from, you know, prospect to client, or, you know, from, you know, curious to committed. And then you've got to deliver your service. And so if they're your three pillars that make up any business, then how do we do that in the most, you know, leveraged way possible? And I, you know, if I think about most of the guys who, you know, who come to me, the way they attract, convert, and deliver is, when they first come, is very, you know, 1990s. you know, the way they attract is kind of, it's manual prospecting. You know, they knock on doors or they cold call and they network and they collect business cards and they follow up. And it's really unleveraged, right? The way they convert is one-on-one sales appointments, you know, face-to-face or on the phone. And again, that's, you know, a bunch of time, and they sell, you know, if they're good, they'll sell, you know, they'll have an appointment and they'll sign a client, but they don't always. And so that's kind of hard work. And then the way they deliver is often some kind of one-on-one time for money service. And if you think about what those three things have in common, you know, manual prospecting and selling onesie twosie and delivering, you know, time for money, what they've all got in common is they're all fueled by your time and your effort. You don't have that much time and eventually you run out of energy. And so, you know, I think that's a flawed model. And so just crazy excited about, yeah, A, doing in my business and then B, sharing with others, is how do you flip that? So instead of like business 1.0, which is the manual, hard work, slow way, to do the new way, which is still attract, convert, and deliver, but it's 2.0. And so instead of manual prospecting, we automate our lead generation and automate our marketing. Instead of selling one-on-one, we're able to sell with, in a leverage way, with, you know, typically with webinars. And then instead of delivering a time for money service, how do we leverage that so we can touch, you know, thousands of people in a way that, you know, an extra 100 customers doesn't affect your work week or even your work day, not even by a minute. And that's kind of what I'm juiced about. I think that's 2.0. And the difference between those two is your 1.0 is your time and your energy. And 2.0 has got to be fueled by two, you know, it's a different fuel. It's fueled by having some IP, some content to share. And secondly, by having some systems in place. And so I think that's kind of the big distinction, the big shift.
What do you say to people who are there thinking, well, it's all right for you, Taki, because, you know, you've figured this out. I see a lot of people feel helpless where they have this expertise. They've got people trying to buy their stuff, but they're like, oh, I can't figure out the tech, or I, you know, I struggle with the, you know, you could tell me and I can't implement it. And, you know, I struggle with finding people to get to do this. How did you broach that subject originally?
You mean specifically in terms of implementing this, these ideas?
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. It's magical. Yeah. How do I do it?
Yeah, cool. So there's a bunch of different ways to get free. And I think the kind of the two easiest ways, for me, automated just means I don't have to do it. And so I'm either looking for, how do I automate through a tool? And I know you and I both use Entreport. And or how do I leverage through a team? And you and I both have teams in the Philippines, although yours is ginormous and mine is three dudes. So that's kind of the first thing is it doesn't have to be very hard. When I first got started, I didn't know you could, there was software and I didn't know you could like get virtual assistants. So I just kind of learnt WordPress and HTML and some techie stuff. And I'm, you know, honestly, you got me through, but I'm really glad that I stopped that as quick as I learned that somebody else could do it, because I suck at it. I'm not very good and it takes ages and it's really frustrating. I think the technology is a place where lots of people get stuck. And so the shortcut is to, as much as you can, leverage off work that other people have already done. So I know that when I'm working with my clients and we need a, I don't know, like a webinar campaign, how do we get people to, you know, show up to a webinar or sign up for a webinar? And well, they could go away and try to figure all that out. Or for example, with Entreport, there's this thing called the OATS code, which is like a pre-built system that, you know, for example, I might have built or you might have built, that, and I get a 10-digit code. They can punch in the 10-digit code and they get the whole campaign dropped into their account straight away without having to do any of the tech, you know? So that's the first way. And then secondly, I would say just get some help from, you know, either somebody who knows what they're doing and be willing to pay a premium to never have to do it, or get a virtual team that can do stuff for you at a much, much lower cost. Does that kind of answer your question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it does. If it does. Basically, you're saying you're going to have to just get the right
pieces. You can learn it or get some help.
Get the right tool and then get someone to implement it. And I guess a lot of people in that struggle street startup phase where they don't feel they can afford to, but I almost feel that they can't afford not to, because it takes years to learn how to run this stuff automatically. And then you really alluded to something very clever. It's building off someone else's framework. You have a four campaign sort of approach to webinars, which you'll be going into deeper into your presentation at Superfast Business Live.
Yep.
So someone could literally say, okay, here's Taki's sign, show, pay and follow-up sequences. I'm just going to roll that out now. And it would be much faster than having to identify that there are four campaigns and to figure out what you should actually do. You're just going to lay it out for them on a platter.
Yeah, literally, including, you know, here's what to say in email one, and then these are the dates you send these emails out on, and here's the SMS wants to say this, and this, you know, just literally, boom, on a platter. And then you don't have to be creative or technically brilliant, just take what works and drop it in. And I think about my business, you know, every month I've got this idea that there's, you know, 50,000 things that I could be doing, and I put them all into this big fat list called Someday Maybe. And then once a month I just pull one thing out and I call it my monthly marketing project. And so I kind of sit down with my tech dude, but you could do it on your own. Just go, what's the one thing this month? Do that. And then I think about installing it into my business, almost like plugging a, you know, like an Atari cartridge into an old Atari, like just slot it in, boom, and it runs. You know what I mean?
Old school, man. You're showing your age.
Yeah, I know.
It's a cartridge.
Like a cartridge. Did you remember that?
So it's like adding an app to your iPhone.
It's a lot like adding an app to your iPhone. So, you're right. Thanks, Mr. 2014.
Oh, you know, got to stick with the program. Now, at some point, I think it's really appropriate that we mention that you have to get out and about. You should go to events. You should become a member of other people's programs or communities to upscale your software, your brain software. You and I both do a course. We also run our own courses for students who can literally plug into our existing knowledge base and experience and frameworks. So that has probably been the biggest shift. It was when I started investing in education and traveling to events and buying courses and implementing is when my business skyrocketed as well. So someone has already figured it out. More time turning the wheel, less time trying to invent it, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to think about it. I think, you know, really there's two things you're going to be doing for the rest of our lives in business. You've got to be learning and you've got to be doing. And if you, you know, and the learning part can either be learned from, you know, a smart cat who's done it before and can just kind of show you the path, in which case it's just, you know, follow me and away you go, or you can learn it the hard way, which takes ages. And so, yeah, a big part of both of our success is by learning from others and reaching out to people or going where those people already are to get the shortcuts and then be able to kind of take it, synthesize, and then just focus on doing. So if you do learning the smart way, yeah, I reckon your ratio is like 30% learn, 70% do. And if you do it the hard way, then you're going to spend all your time learning and never doing. So if you go to straight to the right sources, you can pull what you need to know when you need to know it. I think Rich Sheffrin talked about the difference between just-in-case learning, which lots of people do, and just-in-time learning, which is, you know, here's what I need to learn right now, and I'm going to learn that bit. So, for example, at your event, I'm super pumped about, you know, we're doing some crazy good stuff with our online marketing. But I know that when I come into that room, as well as sharing, I'm going to be able to, you know, like I'm super pumped about learning from Teddy and I'm super pumped about learning from Justin and others, some online stuff to kind of get my funnel even tweaked. And I know that an hour with them will be worth, you know, 3 weeks of my own trial and error. It's cool.
That's it. And we've been crisscrossing ideas with each other, for quite some time. And I love it. I'll be sitting here first thing in the morning, my phone will ring. Hey, dude, it's Taki. Are you up? Yes. I'm downstairs. Let's go have a burrito. So,
Burrito is really good, by the way.
It was pretty good, you know, and it's attached to a surfboard shop. And of course, I've wandered my way next door now and I'm eyeing off the goods. I've just got to get myself good enough to be able to warrant.
Yeah,
a nice new surfboard. Now, you've been implementing some of the things that I do with the blog marketing front end, but what you've been doing really well and I'm looking forward to discovering is the webinar sequences and how you're using that. But you use it for both attraction and conversion and delivery.
And delivery, right? Yeah, I totally do.
It's a core part of your scene is this webinar stuff.
Yeah.
What platform do you prefer?
There's tons of talk right now about, you know, should you do Google Hangouts and all that sort of stuff. I think Hangouts are awesome. I've been on a couple. Frankly, I trust GoToWebinar. You know, it doesn't break. It does what it's meant to do. Sure, it's a little bit more expensive than a free Google Hangout, but you can control it and it doesn't do dumb stuff in the middle of it like my Hangout did a couple of weeks ago. So GoToWebinar, I think, is the kind of the industry standard for marketing and delivering online.
Oh, my buddy Ezra had a classic situation the other week. I'm sure he wouldn't mind me sharing this, but he was using GoToWebinar. Had a little bit of a microphone issue, which was user-operated, as it turns out.
Yes.
So he switched to Hangout, and then it was recording him and broadcasting his, you know, setup attempts, trying to get it working. So he had people saying, dude, you're broadcasting yourself.
It would have like, and he's like, oh, crap, what the hell? Yeah,
exactly. Oh, and he would have died. So he ended up doing a confessional video. Hey, we made a tech stuff up. Sorry about that. And he ran an even bigger event. But he's using a combination of Facebook and webinars and just smashing it. He does it for everything from services through to masterminds through to e-commerce. He's really got the hang of this. So I think if there's a trend, and look, I've had a GoToWebinar account for about 6 years now. I've been doing paid webinars every week forever. I think it's still the best platform, GoToWebinar. If you get yourself an account with that, you can't go wrong. And you've also been testing out new formats for group selling, and that is little workshops.
Yeah, right. In fact, I've got one this weekend. I've just been to the printer, picked up my workbooks, and look, I'm so proud, man. This is possibly the slickest, coolest looking thing I've ever made in my life. And so I think you and I have had a conversation over a burger once about, you know, done for you versus do it yourself, and this kind of sweet middle spot that I think we both operate in called done with you. And I think you're running kind of workshops where you have you know, either a workshop where you teach amazing value, you know, you teach killer stuff and then people have the opportunity to do more with you, or just a workshop to deliver to your members, which, you know, I do both. Last year was the first ever, what would you call it? Like a sales workshop, or, you know, like workshop where there's something to buy at the end that I've ever done.
Preview, I suppose.
Yeah, like a preview. It was a 2-day preview. And geez, it was fun. I went into it going, you know, I'm not sure.
You got oversubscribed too. You had a little bit of an issue. Too popular.
Yeah, well, it filled up before I even told people where to go. There was like a backdoor link that you could get in if you wanted to, you know, jump the gun, and it filled up beforehand. And 47 hours, the whole thing was completely sold out and we had to shut it down. And yeah, it was a bit awkward actually. I had to kind of do an Ezra apology video and tell people, sorry, but maybe next time.
Well, you know, worse things could happen. You hear about people struggling to get a customer, and when you set things up properly, then you've created a delivery mechanism that just fills up. I mean, I knew when you were going to have a low ticket event that it would fill up, because my high ticket event fills up, and it's just going to happen. But now you're doing little previews around the place so people can get along and see you in different countries.
I'm doing sort of one or two a year in Sydney and one or two a year in LA. Got a great little, Black Belt's my community. And so we've got a really good, strong, you know, Australia, New Zealand contingent and a growing, you know, Northern Hemisphere posse. And so, you know, I'm over there 3 times a year to deliver a 2-day intensive for those guys as part of our Black Belt program. And so while I'm over there, I just figured, you know, twice while I'm over there, why don't we run a little intro thing and, you know, wow people. And if they want more, they can get more. It's cool.
Yeah, very cool. All right. So tracked, convert, deliver. You've got the webinar thing down pat. When you go to print things like workbooks, are you using frameworks and checklists that you've already created in the past?
Yeah. You know, I think the line between kind of content and marketing has blurred a lot lately. And so I think of, you know, the kind of marketing that you do that I, frankly, the authority marketing stuff that I do, I learned straight from you. So kudos and thank you. Much appreciated. Our podcast is rocking and our blog is killing it. And it's all great. Thank you, James. It's killer. It's all frameworks. And so anytime I have to do something, if you know you're going to do it again and again and again, or even if you're going to have to do it like 3 times, then build a framework first. And I think, you know, framework before work is a really good way to think about this stuff.
Yeah, we have the same thing. Our first SOP is, and that's standard operating procedure, is if we're going to do it more than once, then we create the standard operating procedure. And,
exactly.
You know, we talk to the team about the aeroplane pilot going through the checklist when you know, fuel, engine. You kind of want to be doing these things. And it's, even though it's not life or death sometimes in our business, you've achieved this level of freedom by having a checklist that you can roll out. And I have the same thing. I got a little checklist for pretty much everything that I do, even rituals like where I keep the keys to my house. You know, it's in.
Dude, I haven't got that ritual down. I spend about 10 minutes a day looking for my keys. It's massively embarrassing.
It does. Well, that's the thing. It applies to every hour. I've got a ritual for surfing. I've got a ritual for the keys. I've got a ritual for my wallet, my cap. But not in a like a weird, creepy, pedantic way.
OCD sort of, yeah, rocking myself in the corner when something's out of place way.
No, it's just in a, well, it makes sense to anchor these routines, because then you're not sort of using up energy or bandwidth to locate these things.
That's right. I read this great article this morning, actually, about Obama, and apparently Obama only has gray suits or blue suits, and he does it because he says, my job is to make decisions, and if I have to think about and decide little stuff, I get decision fatigue, and so I keep my decision-making energy for big stuff and little stuff, like what am I going to eat, what am I going to wear, what's my schedule look like, I just, like, it's a routine and I just do what it says. I think that's genius.
Well, that's kind of why when we catch up half the time, I'll just tag onto whatever you order, because I don't want to be using up my decision-making power too. And you look at some of our friends like Dean Jackson, and right. then of course
he's a black t-shirt and cap guy.
Wears the same gear, and there's Steve Jobs. Same thing, I think. They just,
yeah, totally
like
the
there's one area I'm not going to use a lot of bandwidth. And half the designers that you see are just cruising around in black skivvies.
Like, dude, it is a little bit weird. I went to my wardrobe yesterday and I've got...
You have 10 black t-shirts?
Yeah, literally, I've got 7 black v-neck t-shirts and 5 black shirts. Like, shirts are for presenting and v-necks are for living, and that's kind of my deal, man. It's pretty simple.
Well, there you go. I was joking about that with Francisca on a recent interview about branding, and I was talking about how we were at the airport making that video that you never sent me. Cool. And you said, oh, yes, I've got to get on brand now. And you changed your t-shirt right there in front of everyone.
Yeah, on the curb, on the footpath.
You're just showing off.
Yeah, mate, if I had abs, I would gladly show them off. It's more like a keg than a six-pack right now.
All right, so let's see. What else can we talk about that would be really interesting to our listener? We've got this idea that you can have a little bit of freedom by simplifying things, having leverage systems. We've touched on topics such as using webinars to find your customers, to convert them using a series of sequences, which you'll develop more on at the event. And then you have the delivery mechanism, which is either live format or webinar delivery. I guess we have a lot of similarities in these parts of the businesses. Mm. And using frameworks everywhere, like with slide decks, workbooks, your process for putting out blog content. I think we've delivered some really good value right here.
Totally agree, man. It's been really fun. I think frameworks is definitely something we've both got in common. And it's just something that, you know, most people's businesses are full of friction. And, you know, this is going to sound a bit crass, but I think most people's business need a bit of lube. And the best kind of lube you can apply is a framework, because it takes you from, you know, friction to just, you know, so things just flow. And so I guess the action step for anyone listening is, you know, if you've got parts of your business which are kind of hard or frustrating right now, then kind of just lay out the flowchart of here's everything that happens and go, well, which parts of these do I really need to be involved in? And just kind of circle the bits which only you can do and see if you can figure out either a technology or a team person who can do the rest of it. And so the whole thing just kind of flows like it's meant to. And frameworks are a huge part of that.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we're going to end on that. There's action. So I've been chatting with Taki Moore from CoachMarketingMachine.com. And Taki and I are good buddies. And I'm sure I think we should come back and do some more podcasts, because I've really enjoyed this. And hopefully our listeners have warm reception for you on Superfast Business here.
That'd be great.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man. Meet you at the event. It's going to be killer.
Discover how to build your business
Superfast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.